Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Sunday on Fox, it's a showdown for the ages as Aaron Rodgers leads the undefeated Packers against Tom Brady and the Bucks. It all kicks off Sunday on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Check local listings for the game in your area. Terry Bradshaw is putting $1 million up for grabs in this week's free-to-play Super 6 contest. All you have to do is correctly predict the outcome of six NFL games. Make sure you get your picks in before kickoff Sunday for your chance to be a millionaire. And for top stories, scores, and more, go to the Fox Sports app. Colin, Bears-Panthers is one of the matchups this week. Give us your winner and final score.
Well, there's a reason it's not on my Blazing Five. I think that's a hard game to handicap. Generally, if you give a good coach a few extra days to prepare, Matt Nagy's a good coach, a couple extra days to prepare, I would probably say Chicago close. But I'll tell you, Matt Rhule and that staff, Carolina gets better every Sunday.
They're looking good.
They've done a great job. I should have stuck with my initial prediction, which is I think Carolina's going to be the shock team, and then I bailed on it. I've got no courage. They've really played well last couple of weeks. Jimmy Johnson's got all sorts of courage, two Super Bowls, one of the best football coaches in the history of this country, college football national championship, Miami. He's now Fox Sports analyst, obviously, joining us live from the Keys in Florida. So, Jimmy, the worst situation for a coach is you lose your starting quarterback and you got to go to a backup. But I said this in the offseason. I thought Andy Dalton was a good pickup. He's a grown-up. He's from Texas. He's all in on the Cowboys. Would you, if you ran the Cowboys, would you lighten it up? Would you simplify it for him? Would you some of their skills are similar. Dak's, I think, a little better athlete. What do you do with a playbook now for Dalton?
Yeah, Colin, I think you adjusted a little bit, you know, but I felt like they needed to adjust it even when Dak was in there. They needed to do some things to protect that defense. That defense is really struggling. You know, they went from a 4-3 to a 3-4, and half the players really don't know what they're doing. And so the defense has struggled. And so how you protect the defense is you eliminate the negative plays and you increase your time of possession by running the football with Ezekiel Elliott. Now, I think Dalton, I think he'll be a perfect fit. In fact, he will help that defense. As long as he manages the game and utilizes that supporting cast, I think that they shouldn't miss a beat. And plus, they're in the NFC East. You know, if you were the quarterback for the Cowboys, you'd win the NFC East. So I think they're in good shape.
So Le'Veon Bell got picked up by the Chiefs. When you were coaching and you get a player, and Le'Veon may not be what he was 5 years ago, but he's got a skill set. Jimmy, he can catch the ball. This is a pretty good O-line. How much do you integrate him into the offense first week, second week, third week? Because he's a nice little red zone asset here. Would you slowly move him into the offense?
You know, Bell has been in the league long enough that he's going to be able to adjust to whatever Andy wants him to do. And you know, who's the best coach in the entire league as far as utilizing his talent? And it's Andy Reid. You know, Bell, you know, like you say, he's an outstanding receiver. You can split him out. You can do a lot of different things with him. Now, he's not going to be able to play in that first ball game, but You know, by the time he gets into the second ball game, into like a week and a half or so, you know, they'll have a package for Bell, and I think he'll do fine. I think, in fact, he'll do a lot better for them than what he was doing for the Jets, and it could be similar to what he was doing there with the Steelers.
So Packers-Bucks is the biggest game of the day, and the one reason I like Green Bay in this game, one of the reasons I like it, I think they're doing such a good job protecting Aaron Rodgers. He's not getting sacked. He's got that extra beat, that extra three quarters of a second. And Tom's offensive line has been heavily penalized, and it just looks like they're a little out of sync. Now, Chris Godwin's supposed to play this week, and so he's fully practiced. So are you disappointed, or is Tampa offensively kind of where, Jimmy, you thought they'd be with no preseason?
I actually thought Tampa would be better than what they're playing right now. I think Brady is frustrated. You know, You know, he's not converting on third down, but most of his third downs are third down and eight, third down and nine.
Right.
They're a sloppy, sloppy football team. You know, I've said for the last couple of years before Brady got there, I said Tampa was the most exciting bad team in the league. You know, here they led the league in offense, but they were horrible. You know, they turned the ball over too much, made too many mistakes. Now, Brady has elevated them. They're better now. But, you know, they still are a sloppy football team. Too many penalties, too many negative plays, too many third and longs. I just see, you know, the Packers being a better coach team right now.
Yeah.
Now, I will say this. I like their defensive coach. I think defensively, they really do a heck of a job.
Yeah, I like Todd Bowles, too. I think he's as good a coordinator right now as the league has. The Pro Football Hall of Famer Jimmy Johnson. It's interesting. You know, Brady comes from that sort of academic, rigid system in New England. Very intense. And Tampa's always been a little loose, and Bruce Arians a little loose, and Tom's yelling at teammates about 10 days ago, and it made a lot of news. I mean, Troy Aikman, you had him. He'd bark at guys. Dan Marino would bark at guys. I do worry a little bit that it's a young roster. Tom's an older player, and he's losing patience. Should I at all be worried that it got a little testy and talked about a little too long when he barked last week?
I you know, Troy didn't bark until after I left. Yeah, you know, because he knew Barry wasn't going to bark, and he did, and somebody needed to bark at those players. I think just looking at Tom, he looks frustrated. He looks, you know, like, in fact, he made the comment after the ball game that, you know, so many third and eights, you know, it's hard to convert. And so they are a talented enough team that they can win against anybody if things fall right for them. But because they're a sloppy team, they're not going to have the consistency of a champion.
Yeah.
And until they get that consistency, I'm going to be concerned about him.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I love Andy Reid, but there is something. Mahomes is facing more zone coverage this year, and he's struggling a little bit with it. He's struggling. And they've gotten into a bad habit of starting slow. And I think to myself, well, Andy Reid's a great play designer. Maybe he feels the game out. Pete Carroll can get into this, where Pete lets the game, he feels it out, and then he's a terrific halftime adjuster. Go back to your career. Did you ever have a team like the Chiefs that could start slow, and you always felt like you were digging out of a hole a little bit? And how do you correct it if that ever becomes the case?
You know, I think Kansas City falls into the category of having success and maybe not being quite as hungry before they had the success. You know, the biggest enemy of great is good. Yeah, and they, you know, they are very, very good. Now, when you're bad, you know, you put in the extra hours and you do whatever it takes to try to achieve, you know, success. But they've had so much success. It's, you know, it's almost like they're taking things for granted.
Yeah.
I know Terry Bradshaw asked me, he said, you know, you were a complete, you know, SOB to those players, you know, after that first Super Bowl. I said, yeah, and I was a bigger one the second Super Bowl. He said, if you'd have stayed with that veteran, you'd have lightened up, wouldn't you? I said, no, I would have been an even bigger one. You've got to push those players. The more success they have, the harder it is to push them, you know, to get to that pinnacle.
So I have to ask you, every coach has a strength. You had an eye for personnel that is second to none. You were an unbelievable recruiter, and you built a power at Miami, and it wasn't all five-star guys. It wasn't when you first got there. You built a power with some three-star guys. And I have to ask you, if the Jets or the Giants got the number one pick and Trevor Lawrence is sitting out there, you're the GM of one of those teams. Do you move off a Jones or a Darnold this quickly? What do you do, Terry? Because I think that's what's going to happen here. The Jets are a bad, bad football team.
They are a bad football team, but you don't pass on a great, great quarterback. You know, if you're going to have the first pick in the draft, that means you're going to have the first pick in the second round as well, you know, and the third and the fourth. And so you take your Trevor Lawrence, and then – you maybe trade some other picks to try to build your team. But you don't ever bypass on a franchise outstanding quarterback like Trevor Lawrence.
Okay. And Aikman was like that, right? You with Troy Aikman, you felt you were getting...
Well, I felt that way. We had scouts on our... We had scouts that wanted to take Tony Mandridge. People have selective amnesia. Right now, everybody says, for sure we're going to take Troy Aikman. Troy didn't even make all Pac-10. Rodney Pete was an all Pac-10 quarterback.
Wow.
So there were questions. There were questions on Troy. Now, there were no questions on my mind. I'd been recruiting Troy ever since he was a sophomore in high school. He was in my, when he was a sophomore in high school, he came to my camp at Oklahoma State. We thought we had him signed at Oklahoma State, and then at the last weekend, he goes to Oklahoma. So I'd been working on Troy for a long time. I knew he was going to be our guy. But if you look back during that period of time, there were a bunch of other players that were questioned whether or not, they could be the number one pick. A lot of people wanted Mandridge.
Did you fire those scouts who wanted Mandridge?
To protect them, I wouldn't mention their name now.
I don't blame you. By the way, one college football question. So Nick Saban will not coach the game because he got COVID. Now, he was at Zoom practices. And it was so interesting, right. So interesting to me that even though he's got Steve Sarkisian, who's been a head coach twice, and he's got his defense installed for 10, 15 years, the game, the line moved a field goal, and I'm like, holy moly. Jimmy, when you were in a game, where would you have been missed as a head coach? What does a head coach do? Is it the halftime adjustment maybe that a coordinator couldn't do?
Well, I think the head coach, really in college and pro, his biggest impact is on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's during the week and preparing for the ball game. That's his biggest impact. The head coach on game day, depending on some head coaches call plays, which I don't agree with. Some coaches call defense. I don't agree with that either. Now, it's more, I think he has more impact in professional football. In college football, if you're at one of those top 10 schools, it's kind of like I said with you. You could be the quarterback for Dallas, and you can still win the NFC East. If you're at Alabama, and you were the head coach, you're still going to be right there winning 10 or 11 ball games.
Yeah. You never called plays once in your career. Even your first year at Oklahoma State.
I called plays. I called defenses 3 or 4 years. I called offensive plays for 2 years at Oklahoma State. In fact, Ernest Anderson led the nation in rushing the year that I called plays at Oklahoma State.
Why did you give it up?
I don't think that's the way to do it. I think you're a better head coach if you can delegate, you can oversee, you can have your hand in the offense, defense, and special teams. I spent more time, I was in all the special teams meetings. I would pop in and out of the offensive and defensive meetings. I would sit in all the defensive meetings in preparing the game plan. If you are wrapped up, an offensive coordinator, his mindset is, score. He doesn't talk about, managing the game, timeouts, working the clock. He just wants to score. The defensive coordinator just wants to stop him. He doesn't care about working the clock. The head coach has got to manage the game. He's got to tell the offensive coordinator, hey, start running the ball more. He's got to tell the defensive coordinator, blitz, hey, we can't give him any yardage here. He's got to tell the special teams coach, hey, we're going to run a fake punt, if they don't make it this time. I want the head coach to manage the game, and manage, clock management. I see games lost, Colin, every single weekend where the head coach did not manage the clock.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Boy, you gave Dave Wannstedt all that responsibility. Boy, that's a lot of responsibility to give Dave.
He was with me for about 20 years, so he knew what I wanted to get done.
The Hall of Famer, Jimmy Johnson. Great seeing you, Coach.
Okay, Colin.
Thank you so much. Never learned more football than I have from Jimmy Johnson. Super smart guy. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
I love that Jimmy said that. Because I so agree.
What?
Just delegate.
I think it can be very hard. So it's not surprising that he said he did a lot of play calling at Oklahoma State, because then you're a young coach.
Right.
That was a Lane Kiffin thing at USC. Everybody's like, what are you doing? And he's, you know, that's his first big job. And so I think as you have more success in life, it's easier to delegate. So Jimmy, you know, once he gets to Miami and he wins championships, then, you know, you got the brass ring. But I think for young coaches.
Yeah, I mean, you get your first amount of power. You want to kind of be in control of everything.
Yeah, and also, if I fail, I may never get a second job. I mean, after you win a national title.
Yeah, you don't want somebody else to fail on your behalf.
That's right. Yeah. So you want to kind of control the company. And so I think it's really hard for a 38-year-old coach to say, hey, everybody, I'll just delegate. I think a 58-year-old coach, I think it's much easier.
Yeah. Well, Ryan Tannehill has been very successful since taking over as the Titans starting quarterback, and Mike Vrabel was impressed with how Tannehill has taken advantage of the opportunity. He said Ryan's worked very hard. He came in as a backup and made the switch. He's become a very efficient quarterback for us, a very good leader. This team means a lot to him. I think he's enjoying it. That's something that he would say, is that he's having fun and took advantage of the opportunity last year when it came to him and has certainly not looked back. He has started 17 games for the Titans, both regular and postseason, 13-4 record, 68.2 completion percentage, almost 4,000 yards, 36 passing touchdowns, 6 rushing touchdowns.
Hard to reinvent yourself a quarterback in this league, and Tannehill is starting to reinvent himself. Like, we see him differently.
Yeah. I mean, I watched a lot of Ryan Tannehill in Miami, and I'm happy for him. And I actually no longer believe it was Ryan Tannehill's fault.
No, I'm with you on this. Listen, I thought Tannehill was limited and Gase was Kyle Shanahan. And now I look at it and I think, no, Tannehill was held back by Gase.
I did not think Gase was Kyle Shanahan. I don't remember a time when I bought into Gase or Philbin for that matter, but I did like Joe Philbin. I just think that the Dolphins just did not have it together. Like, the Titans, every single year, we kind of, you don't ignore them, but it's like, we know what they're kind of going to be. And last year, I think they showed that it's not really lightning in a bottle because they're playing well again this year. And they have a lot of great pieces. But I think a big part of this also was Ryan Tannehill. He got granted the opportunity and he took advantage of it.
And also, Mike Vrabel, we're going to have to start here really quickly when we mention the best coaches. We always, remember we left John Harbaugh out forever? It's like, we're still going to have to start. If Mike Vrabel gets to the playoffs again and has another win or two in the playoffs, we're going to have to go, oh, Sean Payton, Andy Reid, Belichick, Harbaugh. You got to start adding Vrabel, because last year maybe isn't lightning in a bottle.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if they continue this with this year, because that's what I thought was happening last year. They're consistent again, so you got to give them credit. AJ Green has been a non-factor for the Bengals so far this season.
Non-factor.
But when he was asked if he wanted to be traded, he made it clear he still sees a future in Cincinnati.
Why not? I think we're building something special here. And I just want to be a part of the team and help us win. I think we're all frustrated about, you know, the way we're playing, because we're way better than what we're putting on tape.
They're actually, offense is fine. They're just. This is okay. Like, there are times last year Miami was losing and I'm like, oh, they got fight. If I'm Cincinnati today, I don't feel terrible about, I don't love my record, but I think they played Philadelphia to a tie. Don't they have a win somewhere? They have a win and a tie. They're fine. They've overachieved.
They have overachieved. We don't know what to expect now. Obviously, Joe Burrow is getting hit way too much.
Yeah, and
that's an understatement.
Solve that in the draft, yeah.
Right, but there's nothing they can do to solve that this year. Unless you just manage the game around that. AJ Green, though, has only had 14 receptions for 119 yards so far, and he was only targeted once last week against the Ravens. Peter King actually said this week on the show that the Bengals should try and trade AJ Green.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's they've certainly been good for each other. I just think the whole Cincinnati thing, you can look at their record and bellyache about it, but I think they're better than I thought, and I think they're an offensive line away from being a team you don't want to play. I think they're really good. I think their receivers are good. Burrow's better than I thought. I think they look
well
coached.
Burrow's a rookie. Like, yeah, they look, they're in second year coach. Like, they have a lot of developing to do. I don't think there's anything to overreact to. I don't know what the trade market is for AJ Green. Obviously, AJ Green has had injury issues, and you'd like to see more production from him.
I'm
not really panicking about the AJ Green thing.
No.
They face the Colts Sunday at 1 Eastern on Fox. Finally, this was all over the internet yesterday. I thought this was cute. Dwayne Wade stumbled upon a huge moment for a couple this week. It's actually Dwayne Wade and Chef Richard Ingram is walking with him there.
That's a chef?
Yeah, that's it. That's Wade's personal chef. He cooks for a lot of people. I know him from back in CBS days. He was walking along the beach in Santa Barbara and happened to pass by during their proposal, and they got a really sweet picture of him. He's just kind of like, oh, it's so sweet. So he was caught on camera, so photobombed their proposal, and then he stopped to take a picture with them. He shared their post about the proposal on Instagram and said it was dope to witness you guys' love. He also sent a DM to them saying, I need y'all marriage to work. It's now on my conscience. So he's a forever part of their love story, but congrats to Ryan and Katie. I thought this was fun. This was everywhere yesterday.
Way to go, Ryan and Katie.
Yeah,
good luck.
Well, it's so funny, like just a random moment to walk up on like that. I don't think I've ever randomly seen someone.
Well, and I love that D-Wade's reaction. I love his reaction.
Yeah, it's so authentic.
It's so great. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
All right, I have my blazing five. Jason McIntyre's having a better year than I am picking games. He comes in with tomorrow's headlines today. He's got his NFL picks, and he's annoyingly good.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
RecTech, smart grill technology built by grillers for grillers. Buy one, I have one. RecTech with a Q.com, RecTech.com. It's been a weird year in the NFL. It's been high scoring, offense way better than defense. Most points scored at this point, any NFL season. A lot of favorites are winning, not underdogs. I've had a very rough year, 10 wins, 14 losses, and a tie, because I like underdogs. I like good quarterbacks getting points. I've only took one underdog all week this week, and let's bring in Jason McIntyre, Fox Sports Radio. All right, so you've been better than me, but it has been a very strange year. It should be noted the Colts had four false positives, COVID tests, so there was a little scare for the Colts. All four tests were false positives, so that's great news for the Colts. But Jason, let's start tomorrow's headlines today. What's the headline for Browns at the Steelers?
I've had a weird good vibe with the Browns all season. We agree they're probably going to the playoffs, Colin. The headline will be, they still can't beat us here. I love Pittsburgh this weekend, Colin. Did you know Mike Tomlin is 13-0 at home against the Browns as the head coach of the Steelers? I mean, this matchup lines up perfectly for Pittsburgh. I'm sure you've seen the Browns' injuries. They got two starting safeties down. Their third safety is a kid, Sendejo, who they brought over from the Vikings. He's terrible, one of the lowest-rated safeties in the league. And you look at that Pittsburgh defense, number one in sacks, number one in pressure rate. Where does Baker Mayfield struggle, Colin? Under pressure. Three of his four picks this year came under pressure. Now, Baker's been good this year, right? Nine TDs, four picks. I think he has 27 commercials so far this season. But I do have some concerns with this Odell Beckham illness, right? He hasn't practiced this week.
Yeah.
They sent him home again today, and they're like, oh, he could play. Well, I don't think that's good news for the Browns. I actually like the Steelers in a blowout here.
All right, good stuff. Tomorrow's headlines today. Now, I quit betting Jets games. I gave up. Jets at the Dolphins. What's the headline going to be, J-Mac?
Yeah. As a Jets fan for over 30 years, it pains me to do this, Colin. The headline will be worst gaze scenario. Colin, how is this guy still employed? Okay, everyone else is firing their bad coaches. And the Jets are clinging to this guy like grim death. It's getting ugly. And I'm going to say this, okay? Joe Flacco's starting this week. Mekhi Becton is out. They just traded Le'Veon Bell. People are telling me that the Jets have quit on Gase. Look at the stats for the defense last week. One quarterback hit, one tackle for loss, one sack. That's it. The defense is supposed to be very good and aggressive, and they're doing nothing. I think they go into Miami and lay a total egg, and finally the Jets part with Gase. A quick word on the Dolphins. This is a team you're going to want to watch going forward. Remember, Byron Jones is the guy they stole from Dallas.
Yeah.
In free agency. He was dinged up, missed a couple weeks. Last week, they started him on one side and Xavien Howard, who's a great cornerback, on the other.
Yep.
And Brian Flores did the Belichick thing. We're going to lock them up man-to-man and blitz the hell out of you. And Jimmy G folded like a cheap table. And C.J. Beathard came in and wasn't much better. This defense has some potential to make some noise. I like Miami big here. I know it's a big number. They're favored by 9, but I bet them this week.
Tomorrow's headlines today, the Fox game of the week. Packers at the Bucks. I'm on the Green Bay side. What will the headline say?
Well, there's only two 4 p.m. games, so I'm still holding out hope you'll invite me over to watch this one, right? So the headline will be Brady cuts the cheese, as my young children laugh in the background. I like Tampa at home this week. Colin, remember the mantra in gambling. Nobody is as good or bad as they were last week, right? Yeah, yeah. Everybody watched Tampa on that island game Thursday night. They couldn't move the football against the Bears. Well, you know, newsflash, Chicago's a top 10 defense efficiency-wise. And Brady was down Fournette and McCoy and Godwin. Those guys are all practicing this week. It looks good. As long as Tom Brady can remember how to count, right? And he knows the downs this week,
right,
holding up the four fingers, I think they'll be fine. Listen, Aaron Rodgers versus Brady, you can't ask for a better matchup Sunday afternoon. I'm expecting a shootout, 45-42 Tampa. I'm calling my shot.
Well, wise guys, a lot of wise guys. I said this earlier on my Blazing Five. The wise guys like Tampa this weekend. Yeah. I just think Green Bay's offensive line has given Aaron so much time to throw. Yeah. They have almost no penalties. They got no interceptions. They have
no turnovers.
No, yeah. Aaron's very comfortable right now. So they're going to have Vitavia's out for Tampa, which worries me for the year. So, all right, tomorrow's headlines today. What's it going to be, Rams at 49ers?
This is another one of those, Colin, the big sharp and public divide. Be careful with this one, ladies and gentlemen. The headline will be Goff with their heads. I'm back on the Rams this week, and I know, Colin, listen, this is a lot of people are angry at me with this pick right now because what you're supposed to do is take the Niners in this spot, right? A week ago, San Francisco was favored by 3 in this game. Now they're 3-point underdogs. It feels like an overreaction. And, you know, that's what the guys in Vegas say, that everybody's going to be taking the 49ers. But, Colin, I can't do it. I cannot put my after-tax dollars behind Jimmy Garoppolo in that beat-up offensive line and the defense. Listen, Colin, my Uber rating was higher than Jimmy Garoppolo's passer rating last week. It was under 2. It was that bad. And you look at the secondary. They started a guy off the practice squad. They just elevated him and put him out there starting. And Ryan Fitzpatrick was like, okay, I'm going to pick on that kid. And he got obliterated. I really think Goff, I know they've only beaten NFC East teams this year, but I think Goff and that Rams offensive line, super underrated this year. I like the Rams here.
Yeah, it's interesting. They got Todd Gurley out of town, which was very much a walking on eggshell situation here in Los Angeles. We read a lot about it where, you know, they didn't want to say anything, but it was very tense in the locker room. He left. They draft Cam Akers, and now they have 3 viable backs in the Rams, and the offense is real cinched up. All right, tomorrow's headlines today. This is a game I can't figure out the Bills. I loved them until Tuesday. Their defense was great. Now it's awful. What's the headline going to be for this one? Because I couldn't handicap it. I had no feel for this.
This is a good stay away, smart move for you. The headline will be Mahomes, he got bills to pay, Colin. And I think there is payback here. Listen, they're coming off a loss. Andy Reid and Mahomes. You know, remember, they led that game against the Raiders 21-10. Okay, they were in good shape, and they kind of took their foot off the gas. Divisional opponent, we've owned these guys. They didn't take them seriously, and the Raiders had an awesome comeback in that victory. But I saw some troubling things from Buffalo. Josh Allen, chiefly. Okay, who is the real Josh Allen, Colin? Is he the guy for 4 games who looked like an MVP candidate, 70% completions, or is he the guy we saw against Tennessee just making some erratic throws, poor decisions? I know they moved the ball well against Tennessee, but ultimately, I didn't think Allen played a good game, and I just wonder how much more regression there is. I like the Chiefs here to win the game and cover the spread.
Yeah, it's a really good week of NFL football. Having been a Jets fan your entire life, it is interesting that Darnold had more support inside, you know, with the stories in New York about a month ago. But if this is the worst team in the league, it looks like to me the Jets. If they go 1-15 or 2-14, have the number one pick, would you move off Darnold for Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, and I'm going to phrase it the way a coach or GM would. We love everything there is to love about Trevor Lawrence. He is an immensely talented quarterback. We'd love to have him in the Jets locker room. I mean, I think that's what you say. You don't say you're moving off Darnold, but you kind of have to. And it's not about Darnold. He's probably going to thrive elsewhere. But you can't pass up Trevor Lawrence. So listen, I barely watched that Clemson performance. And I'm like, this guy's incredible. This is the third year of utter dominance from Lawrence. Colin, he's going to come in and be instantly a top 15 quarterback in the league. And Darnold came in. He had some unlucky, you know, he started with Bowles and then he goes to Gaze. And I can't crush Darnold, but if the Jets can unload him and get a second round pick, I think you got to do it and take Trevor Lawrence.
Good stuff, buddy. Have a great weekend. Jason McIntyre's got Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the radio side, the podcast side. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
All right.
Good stuff. Yeah, it's you know, I mean, I'm a Darnold fan too, and I do think you get to a point where he needs a fresh start, and I tend to root for players, not teams, and I like Sam and know Sam, met his family. I think that kid deserves a more stable opportunity. Like, Cleveland's not stable for Baker until now, but he's had talent. I mean, the Cleveland offensive line, if you go to Pro Football Focus, all their offensive linemen, four of their five are elite offensive linemen, and Jedrick Willis, the left tackle, the rookie, is an elite pass-blocking offensive lineman. They are a mess. And you know, he brought up an interesting point. You have so many injuries and so little lack of effort in New York, you do wonder if the team has quit, if the players have quit on the head coach in New York.
I mean, how – I think that would be human nature.
That's what I'm saying. It feels like the Jet players, like when you're not getting quarterback hits and they have a pretty – solid above average defensive line. Last year, Jets got real pressure on people end of the year. So have players totally quit? I think they have.
I mean, I think the end of that Jets Broncos game showed what was happening there. I mean, it's just unraveled. Just unnecessary penalties and just it's not a good situation there. They could get a haul for Trevor Lawrence to move back and probably retool the entire team, but you can't pitch that to fans. It just and you shouldn't. Like part of this is entertainment and marketing.
We'll see you Monday in the herd.